Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, what's up? Third hour, Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Comedy Alive? We'll do it live. From the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Monday around the country. Teek is out. Back tomorrow, Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206. Give you a chance to hop on the air and host a little part of the show with myself and Tiki. We'll tell you how to do that. Obviously, the Bracket Challenge is the middle of that. Sixth annual already. But we'll tell you how to get it, where to get it. And that will run all throughout March. We've got a nice prize at the back end of that. So it's obviously pretty cool. Something you guys could really enjoy. Tiki and I will be at the Final Four in, Minneapolis Thursday and Friday. We'll be doing shows out there right before the national semifinal. And then we got some traveling coming up, and then we'll be in Nashville, Tennessee. We're pumped about this. Great setup. Wrangler is a feature sponsor. So Teek and I will be actually going out to the draft for the first time together, and we'll be doing shows Thursday and Friday right from the middle of the Fan Fest as the NFL draft takes center stage. So got a lot of moving parts. Obviously, it's all good for you, the viewer, the consumer. Good for us. We get a chance to be in the middle of it and give you guys what you want. And that's obviously good content and good stuff. All right, I think this is really good stuff as well. I want to play this for you right away. This is about LeBron. Rather than, you know, ramble on, let me just play this for you and then obviously react to it. The short gist is Clyde Frazier, so you know the voice at least, from MSG, Hall of Famer, Nick Champion, been doing the games for a million years. Dresses like he, you know, like he took acid and it's like 1973. His outfits are crazy. One of the nicest and, you know, most sincere, genuinely good people that I've ever come across. Like, Clyde is a great guy. And he really doesn't levy, you know, scathing criticisms unless he feels really compelled to do so. And as the Knicks were playing LeBron's Lakers yesterday at noon at the Garden, he felt compelled to do just that. And, of course, there's been a lot of reaction from it. Here's Clyde Frazier on MSG.
How about LeBron's sneakers, Clyde?
Yep, fit for a king. The laces and everything. But this type of behavior is not. When you're the face of the NBA, I think you should be more a part of your team, folks. No matter what is going in the public, you got to be a part of the team. Maybe in the locker room, you're not. But you have to exude that type of togetherness in public, folks. And right now we see he doesn't really care.
Okay. Those last couple of words, we see that he really doesn't care. That's not just coming from some, you know, wacky radio guy just throwing something out there. That's from Clyde Frazier, a Hall of Famer. And that's a pretty heavy indictment. Just doesn't care. I'm going to both defend Clyde's position and criticize Clyde's position. The biggest critique, because I don't think he's totally wrong at all. Matter of fact, I would co-sign that a lot more than I won't or do not. I think Clyde's biggest mistake, and a lot of people have made this mistake, he's not unique or alone in this department, is that he's mixing in, I believe, the inadequacies of the front office, which have been horrendous. I mean, I've been saying for months, Magic Johnson's an F. I mean, he's terrible. He has not done a good job. He's wasted a year of LeBron's prime, period. What remains of LeBron's prime. But I think a lot of people, as they levy the criticism, and a lot of it's with merit this year, more so than any other year for LeBron James, they fail to separate, you know, where Magic has failed and where LeBron has gone directly awry. And I think that Clyde's doing that a little bit here. It's like one broad brush, one all-encompassing critique. Critique he deserves critiquing, and he deserves some harsh critiquing. I don't know if he deserves that critiquing. I want to hear that once again. Go ahead, D-Cell, play that again, and really listen to the final couple of words here.
Go about ahead. LeBron sneakers, Clyde?
Yep, fit for a king. The laces and everything, but this type of behavior is not. When you're the face of the NBA, I think you should be more a part of your team, folks. No matter what is going on in the public, you got to be a part of the team. Maybe in the locker room, you're not, but you have to exude that type of togetherness in public, folks. And right now, we see he doesn't really care.
And right now, we see he really doesn't care. I think that's a bit of an. I certainly think that's an overreaction. I think LeBron always cares. And, you know, I've been very critical of LeBron this year, more so than any other year that I've been on the radio. But I do think that, you know, now people are just taking shots. And I don't think Clyde's trying to take a shot for the sake of taking a shot or for the sake of being polarizing. I don't think that Clyde's in the business to get pub, to get clicks. I think Clyde was saying what was in his heart, and I certainly respect that. But where I think Clyde Frazier really failed here is that he didn't expand on that thought. He should have pieced together, you know, in one swooping commentary, everything about Anthony Davis, everything about the trades, everything about the behind-the-scene machinations and LeBron's camp and try to do this. Because what he's doing there, even if it's not his intention, is that he's basically saying LeBron doesn't care about basketball, and that's not right. That is, matter of fact, that's flat out wrong. Now, he might be motivated a little bit for different reasons this year. You know, once they didn't get AD, once that trade didn't go down, and once they knew they weren't going to be a playoff team, you know, maybe LeBron's a little bit more immersed in his own world than usual. You know, the numbers, the pursuit of certain benchmarks in NBA lore. And, you know, I mean, LeBron, by the way, wouldn't be the first one that's guilty of that, you know, chasing numbers, whatever. I think that you have to extrapolate all the nonsense, and there's a lot of it with LeBron. We know that. And all the off-the-court stuff, and there's a lot of it, and you have to make sure that you get clear and distinct separation in your critiques when you start going in on LeBron and his passion for the game or his commitment to the game. This guy plays 40 minutes every night. I mean, come on. Come on. And I think that that's where Clyde Frazier really failed, woefully failed. And I'm a Clyde fan, but I got to call it how I see it. I think Clyde was wrong there. Not wrong in criticizing, wrong in how he criticized, and maybe more directly what he criticized. And I don't think Clyde's on Twitter, so I don't know if he's going to go back. And matter of fact, I don't think he is. I think he's got a few accounts that, like, you know, Clyde Suits or Clyde Threads or Clyde Shoes. I don't know that he'll circle back to this. And because they don't play the Lakers again, they already played them out in L.A. Knicks actually swept them 2 games this year, which is amazing. Knicks have, what, 14 wins? And they beat LeBron. It's crazy. LeBron didn't play the first game at L.A. I get that. But I don't know that he'll feel compelled to. Like, he's not a national. Like, if Charles Barkley said this, not that Charles would necessarily apologize, but, you know, Charles is going to be on TNT again, and he's going to be there with Kenny. He's going to be there with the crew. It might come back up as a topic of conversation. I don't know if this will come up as a topic of conversation again for Clyde. And I don't know that it should. You know, Knicks are playing out the string. Knicks are irrelevant. You hope you get Zion. You hope you get Durant. You hope you get Kyrie or at least somebody else, Kemba Walker, whatever, and you go from there. But I would like to see Clyde Frazier not apologize, add a little more depth to those words, because I really think that that's unfair to LeBron, the competitor. It really is. And listen, I don't love, and I've mocked him on this, you know, the self-congratulatory Instagram posts. They look ridiculous. When he's walking into the arena, he has one of his buddies take a picture like he doesn't know he's taking the picture. Come on. You know, holding his outfits. All right, that's what athletes do today. But nobody can say LeBron doesn't play hard. You want to say he dials it back on defense? Yeah, he's 34 years old. A lot of guys do, you know? So I really think that that's where he went wrong, you know? You know, Mike, you heard what I said. Mike is an interesting person to ask this. D-Cell as well. Because, you know, in terms of certainly this show, I've been much more harsh toward LeBron than Tiki on Twitter than most. Matter of fact, a lot of people on Twitter kind of position me as a LeBron hater, which I'm not. I just I'm just honest with LeBron. Like, I don't think I've been below board with LeBron. I just think that his antics, he needed to be called out on a bunch of things. But you guys know where I stand on LeBron. You sit on the other side. Are you surprised that I'm kind of defending LeBron here? Does it surprise you?
No, it doesn't necessarily surprise me. I think that you've been calculated in your criticism of LeBron. But LeBron's done a lot of really stupid things that have been very easy to criticize.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is...
But still, not everybody has. A lot of people have defended him no matter what.
Well, yeah, but those people are idiots.
Nah, they're not idiots. Don't call them idiots. Sycophants, maybe, not idiots.
I mean, maybe a little bit of both. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, I watched LeBron, between this and everything else he's been doing, like, it's embarrassing to me.
Yeah.
Like, I watch it, and I'm just like, I'm embarrassed for him. The way he's treating teammates, the way he's handling himself, the way his body language and what he's saying.
Body language is terrible.
Everything
it's terrible.
That this entire season.
It's terrible.
Forget about his play on the court. He's still averaging, 27 points a game?
Yep.
On the court, he's fine.
Okay.
But, like, I listened to a quote of him talking about this game. He went 4 of 15 in the fourth quarter. After the game, he goes, yeah, we just didn't hit shots late in the game. No, not we. You.
That's his worst.
You didn't hit shots.
That's his most. That's the most misses he's ever had in a quarter.
In a single quarter.
In his career.
And he said we.
And by the way, how does Mario Hezonja block his shot? I mean, that's just a little sidebar here. Jeez, it's not like, I mean, you know, Rudy Gobert blocked him at the rim. It's Mario Hezonja.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, I'm not necessarily surprised. I've seen you on both sides of the LeBron equation.
Yeah.
You're not a LeBron hater. You're not a LeBron apologist.
Definitely not.
You call him out when it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I just, for me personally,
yep.
I still love LeBron, but I think that he's embarrassing himself. And he's embarrassing the NBA, and he's embarrassing the Lakers.
Oh, my God.
What he's been doing
in the NBA? You're going far now. What, because of the bench where he sits?
Just
or
everything
what he's
with
trying to
this
do
whole
the
season has been an embarrassment for the NBA. When your biggest star, globally and domestically, is acting like a child, acting like a whiny little baby.
Wow, you
it's
think
an
that
embarrassment.
That's you think that that's a fair depiction of how he's acted?
Yes.
Publicly?
100%.
Publicly?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm.
His body language,
in
and out of huddles. He had his back to Walton. All this stuff with Rich Paul and the stuff with the Pelicans.
Mm.
Everything that's gone on with LeBron and his team,
mm-hmm.
but not the Lakers team, his crew of people.
I got you.
It's an embarrassment to the NBA.
Interesting. Okay. Hey, listen, you know, one thing that I'm very aware of, and, you know, I try, listen, sometimes it doesn't seem as if I'm fair. I try to be fair. I really do. I don't come into a show with an agenda. I don't come in with a bias. That's why I position it the way, you know, how I want, you know, if you're new to the show, I would probably seem as if I'm a huge LeBron fan. But if you've been with us for a while, you know, that I've been hard on him. But I just react to what I see. And I'm not a fan of his arrogance. I'm not a fan of his detachment from the rest of the team. But I'm also not a fan of another basketball luminary taking an unnecessary shot or a poor characterization. LeBron sat at the end of the bench by himself for years, and he was doing that when he was winning championships as well. He's got the ice pack. He's got the heat. He's always, not always, but he's done that for a long, I don't know if he was doing that his first 2 or 3 years with the Cavs. He's done it for a long time. So now to selectively just parachute into, you know, certain optics, and Clyde's got to be a little bit more responsible than that, or he's got to provide a little more clarity, or he's got to be a little bit better than that. I love Clyde, but I thought he was off on that. All right, 855-212-4227. Kareem Jackson, a little Broncos football coming up. See what he's got to say. The offseason, as the Broncos try to chase some pretty quality teams in the AFC West. We'll do that coming up next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, you've got plans to finally go out, do a little work on the car. You're all jacked up. The hood's up. You got the music going. Maybe open a beer. Ready to go. And missing a tool. That it's one you don't have. And frankly, your neighbors don't have it. And quite frankly, you're probably never going to need it again. It's one of those weird ones. You don't even really know what it is. However, O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with their loaner tool program. With more than 80 specialized loaner tools available, they're sure to have a tool in stock to help you get the job done right. Working on your steering? Well, how about a ball joint press or a tie rod separator? Two tools you may never need again, as I said. But then again, you do need it now, and you don't have it, and that's not good. Looking at your engine, you can borrow a valve spring or a piston ring compressor. Then you can return it. O'Reilly's got tools for steering, suspension, to fix brakes, tires, and wheels, AC and cooling, even all the diagnostic tools, so you know when you're on the right path. So it just got to tell you, hey, this is good. No, this is bad. It'll tell you because you probably don't know. Just purchase the needed parts and put down a deposit on the loaner tool. Return the tool in the original condition and you receive a full refund. Simple. The deposit's the purchase price. It's that easy. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better prices every single day. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. There's a new way to save a little money. Just switch to Geico. You can go to geico.com, and 15 minutes later, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, I'm going to step away from the LeBron stuff, step away from some college hoops, which obviously has driven the show today here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. We have had our next guest on at least three, four, maybe five times over the years, a longtime defensive back with the Houston Texans, but he's got a new address. He signed a deal with the Broncos. That is Kareem Jackson, who is with us here on the show. Kareem, welcome back. How you doing, buddy?
Thank you. Thank you. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. This is definitely an offseason of change for you. And, you know, not only are you leaving a franchise that you know, that's all you know, because that's where you played your entire career, but you're going to a franchise that will have a new head coach in Fangio, taking over for Vance Joseph, and a new quarterback in Joe Flacco. A lot of changes for you, man.
Yeah, it is. I just look at it as an opportunity. You know, I'm excited about it. Like you said, new team, new organization. You know, they have a great tradition there, and I'm, you know, in the history and stuff there. I'm just looking forward to it. Like I said, a great opportunity for me, and going to take the advantage of it.
I would imagine, Kareem, it's got to be a little, certainly bittersweet emotionally that you're leaving, you know, a town and a team that's all you know professionally. But also, you know, in years past when the Texans made some wild card games, there was always somebody hurt. Like the quarterback situation was always in flux. It seemed like this year you guys had most of the pieces together. Is it fair to say you guys left maybe a little something on the table as a team with Houston?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely bittersweet, like you said. I mean, every year is different, you know. And like you said, I mean, obviously you feel as though, you know, we were just there, you know, maybe having added a couple pieces here and there, yeah, as a team. But I mean, at the end of the day, man, for me, you know, this is unfortunately this is how the business goes, man. I mean, sometimes you're on teams that, you know, are just that close, and then you know you have to go to another situation. But for me, I'm excited about it. No, I think, you know, Denver. I think we can do some great things. I think we added some great pieces, you know, and they already have some great pieces there also, you know. Mm-hmm. So definitely looking forward to a new situation, this new opportunity with my new team.
What were your views? Talking to Kareem Jackson, formerly of the Texans, now with the Denver Broncos, 3 years, 30-something million, and congrats on that. I mean, it's got to be, even though the money, I know the NFL contracts are wacky, but just put your name to something like that. I know you're getting a fair amount of guaranteed money. Congrats to you. You've earned it. What was your perception through the years of Joe Flacco? I'm curious, because Joe's one of these guys, and Eli Manning is like this a little bit, a champion, but not always, you know, maybe doesn't always get the respect some people either love. Like, when you faced Joe Flacco, what did you see in Joe? Obviously, he's not running around the pocket, but what's your scout report on your new teammate?
For me, I mean, obviously, you know, he has a big time arm. You know, can make every throw in the field. You know, the times I played against him, he definitely had, you know, command of his offense. So I'm definitely looking forward to being his teammate. You know, just eager to see how he works. You know, see him in practice, to see him take control of the offense. You know, it's going to be exciting. You know, to kind of go against him. You know, I mean, I think, you know, he's a proven winner. You know, we know what he's capable of. So, you know, for him, for me, and some of the other guys, you know, it's every year is new. It's different. Every year, you know, poses its own, you know, challenges. So, you know, as a team, you know, we'll come together and we'll look forward to, you know, going out and being successful.
Well, I'll tell you, the division that you're now going to, even though, you know, the Browns, so even if you were still in the AFC, in the AFC South, the AFC is going to be very different next year because of the Browns' moves here. But specifically to your new division, I mean, the Chargers, they're going to throw it 35 times a game. Keenan Allen's a beast. The Raiders just signed, you know, as we traded for Antonio Brown. We have to see what happens with Tyreek Hill in Kansas City. But, You better lace up those cleats pretty tight, man. Don't get old overnight. What are you, 30 now? You're going to be running around a lot in the AFC West. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a tough conference. You know, it's a great challenge, but I'm looking forward to it. You know, for me, like I said, me and the rest of the guys in the secondary, you know, we'll do everything. We need to do everything possible to be ready to go.
Yep. By the way, did you have a chance to go back to Houston? Did they actually offer you a contract? I didn't see that written anywhere. Did you have a chance to go back?
Kind of, but nothing significant to where, you know, I actually, you know, would have a chance to come back. So, I mean, like I said, at the end of the day, man, that's how the business goes. I had a chance to play nine seasons there. Very fortunate for that, for them giving me an opportunity to be there, you know, a young kid out of Alabama. So, like I said, all good things must come to an end, but, you know, start a new chapter in my life, you know, the Denver Broncos. So I'm definitely looking forward to it and excited about it.
Oh, there's no doubt. And with Tota Kareem Jackson, who's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, the fan base for the Texans, and I've been to the stadium couple of times, one for a Super Bowl, one for a Final Four. Man, it's pretty big. The thing that really surprised me about the Reliance Stadium? Is it still called Reliance Stadium? It is, right?
No, it's
NRG. Oh, that's right. NRG. That's right. The NRG. But when you pull up on the on the media bus, I was astonished how much bigger the football stadium is compared to the old Astrodome, which, you know, once dubbed the eighth wonder of the world. It's actually amazing to see the two sit side by side. And I say that because the Houston Texan fans, even though they're relatively new in terms of expansion somewhat, their fans are great, and they go to the games. But Denver Broncos, a different beast. The lineage in the NFL, the mile-high experience. How many times have you played in Denver, roughly? And altitude-wise, what kind of an adjustment is that going to take?
I played that three times, and, you know, and every time, man, the fans are, you know, insane. It's an incredible atmosphere. You know, it's one of those atmospheres where you walk into it and you see the fans and, you know, obviously the open stadium, and you just kind of, you know, can smell the grass and stuff. You kind of get that, you know, get that feeling, okay, you know, and you kind of get ready to go. It kind of gets you going. But,
oh, yeah.
With the altitude, I'm sure I'll be able to adjust to it. You know, for me, I do. You know, I take the necessary steps to, you know, to be in shape, you know, to get out there. You know, I don't think altitude would bother me, you know, a whole lot. I mean, I know a couple times it's being there, like out in the warm-ups and stuff, it kind of gets to you. But once you kind of get going in the game, you know, it doesn't really bother me much. But, I'm looking forward to all that, man, and just excited about it.
What do you know about Vic Fangio's defense? Obviously, Vic is now the head coach, and we're all happy he got a chance to really – he was great with Harbaugh and the 49ers and obviously did a great job with Chicago. He's in his early 60s. You don't see this too often. An older defensive head – you know, defensive background get a chance to be a head coach in the NFL now. Usually it's young and it's offense. He's the complete opposite. What do you know about Vic Fangio?
Just getting a chance to, you know, watch the Chicago Bears these last couple of years, you know, and, you know, the type of defense that they've been able to play these last few years, you know, and just talking with some of the guys that I know that played on that defense. So, and me getting a chance to meet him when I went to actually sign my contract and do, you know, a little bit of press conference, you know, just excited, you know, and seeing, you know, the style of defense that he likes to play with, you know, his DBs getting a chance to see the ball come out of the quarterback's hands and get the chance to read and react. You know, as a DB, that's kind of like, you know, a defense that you definitely want to be in. So for me, I'm eager to be in that system and to learn and to kind of get in and, you know, pick his and play multiple spots in that secondary.
I don't blame you. I mean, he is as respected a defensive voice in the league right now. Get a chance to spend some time with John Elway or not much?
Just a little bit. Talk to him a little bit. Just kind of, you know, being in his presence, man, and you know, and what he did for this league, you know, and it was great getting a chance to, you know, actually kind of meet him and to be there in my eye.
Well, listen, Kareem, obviously Tiki is out today. He'd be saying the same thing if he was in. Congrats. You've already stretched out, this is year 9 or what is it, 9 or 10? It's not 10? I think it's 10. You're going into year 10, right?
Yeah, going to your team.
That's amazing. I mean, that tells you all you need to know about how you take care of your business, how you comport yourself on and off the field. So we're happy for you. We've had you on the show a bunch. We're looking forward to watching you in Denver. And, you know, no off days, as we said. You got AB. We'll see what happens with Tyreek Hill, Keenan Allen. Better keep those wheels ready, man. Don't get old overnight, buddy.
Nah, a whole lot of cold tub, man. I'll be ready to go.
I know you will, and I know we'll have you back on during the season, maybe during training camp. Thanks a lot, Kareem. And, again, congrats on the contract, buddy.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. There you go, Kareem Jackson. Nice run in Houston. Made some plays, a lot of picks. Really respected guy. Good stuff. All right, coming up next, you want to talk about going to extremes and then going to extremes. Wait till I tell you about the extremes Major League Baseball is going to or possibly thinking about going to avoid sign stealing. It is next level wacky. We'll get to that after Jay Berman's update, which is right now. Here's
okay,
Jay.
It is time now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, Mike Lino. At M. Lino. All right, guys. Is LeBron just overrated as a leader and more of a great player? So basically what Mike is asking me is LeBron, do we lump in great leadership skills with great talent, great individual skill set? I think sometimes we do that. There's certainly a connection to a best player who wins with regularity. I mean, there's something to be said for that. But I do think that you know, LeBron's a leader by example. You know, as much as you want to get on LeBron, again, for all the petty things that he does, LeBron is so devoted to his body and keeping himself out there and playing. Last year, he led the league in minutes per game. So to knock his leadership, while there's various forms of leadership for sure, you know, I don't think his leadership is working with the Lakers. This is different. But I think in the past, it was effective because his teammates knew he was the first in the gym and the last to leave. And that's important. All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So Tiki and Tierney here on this Monday. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. Hey, tournament action tips off tomorrow. CBS Sports Network is there to bring you the in-depth analysis of the field of 68. Take a look at who's got a chance to win it all. Don't miss NCAA March Madness Bracket Breakdown. As we get ready tonight at 6, coming up right after Tiki and Tierney. That is 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. That is CBS Sports Network. Proud home of Tiki and Tierney, amongst others. All right, a couple things that jumped out as I'll finish up the show pretty much the way I started. Started with the NC2A, but right now it's time for a little blast. We'll get to that. Here it is.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Mike will butcher. I mean, Mike will narrate this part. Mike, what do you have, buddy? Go ahead.
So Jets head coach John Gettleman. No, I'm sorry. Giants GM Dave Gettleman. I'm just terrible at this.
Jeez.
He spoke at a conference call, and he defended keeping Eli Manning.
Narrative that Eli's overpaid and can't play is a crock. I'm telling you.
It's a crock. Mm. I don't know. The stats and the record begs otherwise, but
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talked about trading OBJ.
Very honestly, it's not my responsibility to tell you guys what I'm doing. That is not my, just like it's not my responsibility to respond to every rumor that comes down the pike. As I said publicly twice, we didn't sign him to trade him, but obviously things changed. And frankly, what changed is another team made an offer we couldn't refuse.
So the question is, whether you believe Gettleman has a long-term plan or not, how long do the Giants give him before they cut ties?
Well, first of all, that condescending tone with the media is going to get him nowhere. I mean, that's the first thing. Not that you need to placate the media or kiss their behind. And to be fair, in defense of Gettleman, what he said is true. He doesn't need to alert the media what he's doing. But when you say it like that and you're coming off just a couple of wins, 5-11 season, you don't really have the platform to lay out. Trust me, I've been here my whole life. It doesn't fly in New York. It's not going to work. What he said about the trade, I would vehemently disagree. That's an offer that knocks you over, that you couldn't refuse. I don't agree with that. I do believe that Eli played a little bit better. Ironically, I'm always after Eli here, but it's more big picture than small picture. I think he played okay last year, given the absolute Swiss cheese offensive line. He was pretty efficient, although a lot of those were dump-off passes. I think my biggest gripe with Gettleman is that And he said further, to not even entertain, like, the notion, like, it wasn't even a thought for them to possibly move on from Eli. To me, that's reckless. To me, that's irresponsible. I mean, Eli is not that good at this point, where he's beyond reproach. Gettleman's got an interesting approach. He's very ornery, and you better win with that approach.
This was interesting in the NBA. Bulls' Zach LaVine offered to pay the fines for his head coach Jim Boylan after Boylan got a couple texts and an ejection.
I saw this.
But the NBA actually said no, and it's not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think players should be allowed to pay for coaches' fines?
It's an interesting thing. By the way, that was really good with Doc Rivers. Boylan was going at him. They really got pretty animated there. This speaks volumes about how this team feels about Coach Boylan. So from the Chicago Bulls' point of view, that Zach LaVine would step up and offer that, it's awesome. You know, specific to the question, should players be allowed to pay coaches fines? I mean, I guess you have to have some sort of structure, some sort of barrier, some sort of parameter, and I guess you have to define it somewhere and somehow where, you know, if player gets penalized, they've got to pay for it. If coach gets fined, he's got to pay for it. And it comes right out of the paycheck. That's what people don't realize. It's not like Zach LaVine's going to write a check or do a PayPal or something with these guys. So it comes right from their paycheck. I love the symbolism behind it. And by the way, there's always a way for Boylan to get him back for LaVine to get Boylan back. He can hand him a check and nobody really know, or he can hand him cash. I mean, if he really wants to do it, it's a great gesture. It's not about the money. It's about the gesture, which is great for the Chicago Bulls. That's good.
So this is what you were discussing before. The MLB is trying a new technology. They're at least going to test it out in spring training, where a catcher is going to have a special watch, and they can send the pitch and location to the pitcher who's going to be wearing an earpiece.
Okay.
This is their way to use technology to get rid of sign stealing.
Okay.
Oh, what do you think about this idea?
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to think about it's interesting. At the very least, it's interesting. Let me see. I'm trying to think of the transfer of, so let's go, you go, but here, wait a second, here's the biggest problem. What if, just think about this practically, guys. All right, I put down two fingers. I want a curveball. The pitcher, Mike, is in front of me, so Mike wants a fastball, right? So, obviously, if this is the conventional way, I go from two fingers to one finger. But now, as it goes from my watch to the earpiece, how is he going to shake his head, and then I'm going to have to go through the whole process again? And if so, this is all about timing. I mean, well, this aspect is about stealing, clearly. But baseball's whole initiative here is to get faster, not just on the field, but to shave off, you know, 8-9 minutes here. Shorter commercial breaks, you know, less time in between innings. I see that this is almost counter to that. So I think listen, try things. It's an interesting laboratory. Use the minor leagues and independent baseball to try it. But I don't see this coming to fruition anytime soon, especially the direction of the pitch. That's a lot of buttons to hit. I don't know. I don't see it happening. And I'm not opposed to it if it would actually be fast. I just don't see how you transfer that quickly and still stay in line with the pace of the vision of the game. That would be tough for me.
I mean, it's also possible when the batter is out of the box doing whatever he's doing, messing around with his gloves and his bat.
That's what
taking
that's
his signs. Then you can do it. Because you're not giving signals until the guy gets into the box.
No, clearly. But the whole thing is, what about the pitch clock? I mean, you're going to do all this in 20 seconds?
That's interesting.
Doesn't seem practical. I mean, do they think this stuff out?
Well, listen, it's only a test. It's not in there yet.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got you.
So here's number four. Arkansas star, and likely first-round pick Daniel Gafford, it says he's going to skip the NIT so he can prepare for the NBA draft. And head coach Mike Anderson isn't exactly thrilled about it.
I've always been of you finish what you start. I've always been that opinion. You finish what you start.
Now, he later on kind of clarified and said, I'm fine with it. I'm happy for the kids, whatever they do. But
yep.
How do you feel? Are you okay with players skipping postseason tournaments so they can prepare for their pro career?
Okay. I'm not going to conjure up. I'm going to have a little separation here. Like the NIT versus the NCAA. I have no interest in the NIT. I have no energy to defend the NIT. It is a completely meaningless tournament. It's terrible. There used to be great value. There was actually a point back in the day where the NIT was on equal footing with the NCAA. Matter of fact, the NIT was the more prestigious event. Going back to like the 50s and the 60s. It's crazy, but look it up. It's actually true. I mean, I'm not going to begrudge. If the premise, think about this. If the premise is putting yourself in the best position for generational wealth, I guess I can't really use the backdrop as the determining factor as to whether or not I agree.
I wouldn't do it. I don't like it. I don't like the trend. But I understand. My response, if I'm coaching them, I'm probably striking the same tone as Coach Anderson. I don't love it. I wish kids would finish what they start. But on some level, I obviously get it.
It's just reminiscent. Forget about guys who are skipping the college football playoff. It's just if you're skipping some, you know, nonsense bowl, you know, in Idaho or in the Bahamas or whatever, it has that same feel. The NIT doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, I guess.
Well, neither do those bowl games.
Exactly.
You know, that's what you're saying,
yeah. But at the end of the day, like, don't you want your kids, especially in basketball that you were talking about, how often does that happen that a kid really gets hurt that derails his career game? So, like, just, I mean, what are you really doing outside of just sitting around and you know, practicing?
Running. You're not going to get hit. I mean, sure, anything wacky could happen, but that's a weird one.
So we were going to hit this earlier, but we figured we'd save it to the end. Tiger finishes 30th at the Players, and he struggled so far this year. Hasn't finished in the top 10 in any of his tournaments. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that he'll break his major slump this year?
Okay. He's two away from the all-time tournament win, like all-encompassing, not majors, obviously. Do I think he's going to win this year? I do. I'm actually quite confident. You know, by the way, I think that you have to look at it. Tiger, you know, 30th at the Players, but that's not really representative of the way he played. And I didn't know this at the time, but he actually miscalculated the rules. Remember when we went through the sequence on Friday on 17 where his first shot was long, ricocheted off the back, dropped two, hitting three. Instead of doing that, he went to the drop area, then he dropped two, hitting three there, hit that. You know, Mike's suggesting me to that. He's like, he actually cares about golf. But, so he took a quad there, right? And he actually didn't know the rules, or he just neglected to enforce the rules. He could have taken a much different drop where he could have, based on the line of entry of the ball, Chamblee did a great job with this, and he could have putted, and he would have absolutely made a four. I mean, you get up and down, you get a bogey. So the point is that he finished 30th, but he played like somebody who really finished 12th or 15th. I was more encouraged than I was discouraged. And then, you know, he had a couple of other finishes where he was like 12th or 15th. He's been a few top 20s. He is getting his game together. He knows Augusta like the back of his hand. Tiger Woods will be, do I think he's going to win? I do. There's a lot of great players, so it's almost a little ridiculous to guarantee he's going to win. I'm going to stop short of saying that. But he will have at least one, probably two majors this year where he's coming down the back nine with a chance to win. I'll say that.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Yeah, I tell you, Mike just asked me the question on Friday about Rory being a top 10 player. Now we got the reverse Tiki and Tierney Mojo. Now we rip you and you come out and you win. It used to be, you know, you bring out the show, you win something. We're all out of whack with that. You're right. We're all out of whack with that. But, and I got a few tweets over this about this over the weekend. I get it. Mike asked me if I thought Rory McIlroy was still a top 10 player. And my answer was no, because I didn't trust his ability to grind. I haven't seen enough evidence where, you know, if Rory doesn't have this sterling round early and he gets a little separation and can start to run away from people, I have not seen the overwhelming evidence that Rory is able to come back after a 74 and then come back and drop a 67 or make some sort of late charge. He has not been the same player in the last couple of years. That's undeniable. Now, if Rory's putting, Rory's beating everybody in the world. Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, it doesn't matter who it is. He's going to beat them all. But that putter is still, you know, this weekend aside, it's still not a world-class putter. And until it is, you know, it is what it is.
So yes, we have Mike. About 90 seconds here for us to determine what's going to happen when my Sun Devils kick your Johnny's asses.
Okay. All right. What's the bet here? I wanted to get this to this earlier. Damn.
Yeah. We're running out of time, but here's my thought. Yep. I have a couple ASU jerseys.
Got a couple of propositions here. Go ahead.
I got a couple ASU jerseys.
Uh-huh.
Just simple. If you lose, you got to wear one of them.
It's not going to fit me. You're a small.
That's why it's hilarious. You're going to be wearing this tiny little
get
ASU
out of
jersey.
Here.
Listen. This is a major, man. How confident are you in your Johnnies?
Honestly?
And if I have to wear a Johnny's thing, I'll be swimming in it like a dress.
Yeah, but I'd rather have something big where I can hide a love handle than something that's
tight.
Yeah,
you'll
like
be sitting in a chair. What love handles?
Yeah, I'll just lower the chair.
Yeah, whatever. I'll have a little fun. By the way, I can always cut the sleeves if I'll do something with
you. You're going to cut my jersey?
Yeah, I will.
First of all, that's a whole other part of this
relax,
bet.
Relax. I'll get one from Hurley. He'll actually give me a shirt to bring back for you if I see him Wednesday, which I will. How confident am I in the Johnnies to win? It'll be a tough game. They played them last year and almost beat them. It was on. It was in Arizona. It was an out-of-conference game. They lost by a couple. They were actually down like a point with 3 minutes to go. It's a coin flip. I mean, listen, of course I want St. John's to win. If Arizona State wins the Sun Devils, I would not be surprised. If St. John's wins, I would not be surprised. So you're on. We'll have a little bet. I've got to come up with my end. My end is not you get to wear a big St. John's shirt. No, that's not it. I'll come up with something a little tougher. But I'll agree to your end. Yeah.
But Diesel has an idea. Diesel said that we should switch seats. Not switch roles, but switch seats for a segment.
Well, he just wants to get rid of you. I mean, that's...
I get the TV time, you get screwed over here.
He's praying that you win the bet. He doesn't want to sit near you. He can't stand you. We'll finish up my end of the bet at some point tomorrow. I'll text you. Guys, have a great Monday. Peace. Tiki's back tomorrow. Gotta go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.